Welcome back, everyone. It's amazing we've made it to the final episode of our deep dive into 5,000 years of Indian history.
Oh, no, right.
We've gone from the Indus Valley Civilization all the way to the modern era.
It's been quite a journey.
So today, we're going to kind of step back and look at the big picture.
Okay, yeah.
What are some of the recurring themes? What are those big transformative events that really shaped this civilization?
Right. We'll be trying to weave together all the insights from our previous episodes, looking for those threads that connect India's past to its present.
You know, I'm really curious about how geography has played a role in all this. India has such a diverse landscape.
Oh, absolutely.
From the Himalayas to those coastal plains. I just can't help but think that geography must have had a huge influence on India's history.
Yeah, for sure. Why don't we start with the Ganges River?
Okay.
You know, it's not just a river. It's been the lifeblood of northern India for centuries, supporting empires like the Mauryas and the Guptas.
Oh, speaking of empires, I remember being struck by how the Guptas used that land grant system to encourage agricultural growth.
Yeah.
Was that common in other empires too?
That's a great question. While land grants were used throughout Indian history in different forms, the Gupta system was particularly sophisticated. They granted land not just to individuals, but also to temples and monasteries, which helped them exert control and promote their cultural agenda.
So it wasn't just about the economics. It was about consolidating power and influence, too.
Exactly.
Now, when we think about how vast India is, I also wonder about the impact of its coastlines.
Well, India's extensive coastlines have always been a gateway to the world. The spice trade, for instance, connected India to the Roman Empire, bringing wealth and new ideas. This maritime connection even helped spread Buddhism to Southeast Asia.
Wow, it's fascinating to think of India as this ancient hub of global trade and cultural exchange. And, you know, I also remember that even the Dutch East India Company used those Chinese junks for transportation. That really shows just how interconnected the world was even way back then.
Exactly. And those connections weren't always peaceful, right? The arrival of the East India Company led to British colonialism, which had, of course, a really profound and lasting impact on India's political and economic landscape.
Speaking of colonialism, we can't forget about the role it played in shaping modern India. It's a really complex legacy, full of both positive and negative consequences.
Absolutely. While British rule brought advancements like the railway system, it also exploited India's resources and contributed to famines. It shows how progress can come at a high cost.
Yeah, and that cost brings us to the struggle for independence with Mahatma Gandhi and his philosophy of nonviolent resistance, which played a pivotal role.
Definitely. Gandhi's leadership was crucial, uniting Indians across religious and social divides, and ultimately leading to India's independence in 1947. But even that victory was bittersweet, because the partition of India and Pakistan led to widespread violence and displacement.
Yeah, it's a reminder that even moments of huge triumph can be accompanied by tragedy. So we've talked about geography, empires, trade, colonialism. What about the evolution of religious and philosophical thought?
Well, that's another fascinating part of Indian history. From Vedic Brahmanism to the rise of Buddhism, Jainism, and devotional movements like Bhakti, we see a dynamic interplay between all these different schools of thought.
I remember being struck by the story of Buddha, rejecting that rigid social hierarchy of his time and offering a path to enlightenment through compassion and meditation.
Yeah, Buddhism had a big impact on Indian culture, challenging social norms, inspiring works of art and architecture like the Ajanta and Ellora caves. And even though Buddhism declined in India, its influence on Indian thought and spirituality is still felt today.
And then, of course, we have the Bhakti movement with its emphasis on personal devotion to a god or goddess.
Yes. The Bhakti saints, like Kabir and Mirabai, really transcended those social barriers with their poetry and songs, promoting the idea that devotion to God was for everyone, regardless of their caste or social status, which was really revolutionary for the time.
It's really amazing how these movements completely reshaped the religious landscape of India. And speaking of reshaping, how did technological advancements like the railway system, which the British introduced, affect India?
Well, the railways, while connecting different parts of India and facilitating trade, also reinforced British control and, unfortunately, enabled the exploitation of India's resources. This really illustrates what we've been calling the modernization paradox.
It's a perfect example of those complexities and contradictions that come with progress. What do you think are some of the most significant long-term consequences of this paradox?
Well, one major consequence was the disruption of traditional economic structures. The railways favored certain regions and industries, leading to economic disparities and social tensions, which continue to affect India today.
So even though the railways physically connected India,
yeah,
they also contributed to divisions and inequalities.
That's right.
It seems like that's been a recurring theme in India's history.
Yeah.
This interplay between forces that unify and forces that pull it apart.
Exactly. And understanding that tension is really key to understanding modern India.
We've covered a lot of ground in this episode.
We have.
But there's still so much more to explore.
Yeah, a lot more. And as we move into the 20th and 21st centuries, that tension becomes even more pronounced. You know, India gained its independence, but faced this huge task of building a nation from scratch, really, while dealing with all those inherited divisions.
Yeah, it must have been overwhelming. Where did they even begin? I know we talked about the Green Revolution a bit, but what were some of the other key challenges and opportunities that came up for India?
Well, one of the most pressing issues was poverty and inequality. The Green Revolution, while it did increase food production, it didn't reach everyone equally. So we saw new economic disparities emerge, particularly in rural areas.
It's like taking a step forward, but then realizing there were some complexities that came with it. What about social reforms? Did independent India make progress addressing things like the caste system?
There were definitely efforts made to create a more just and equitable society. The Constitution of India, which was adopted in 1950, outlawed discrimination based on caste. Yep. And it enshrined the principles of equality and social justice.
Okay, that sounds promising, but I imagine dismantling centuries of social hierarchies isn't easy. Did those legal reforms actually lead to real change for people?
Well, it's a long process, and it's still ongoing. While untouchability was officially abolished, discrimination based on caste, religion, and gender still exists in many parts of India.
So the legal framework is there.
Hmm.
But changing those deep-rooted societal attitudes, well, that takes a lot more time and effort. What role did education play in this period?
Education was, and continues to be, seen as this crucial tool for social mobility and empowerment. There was a big push to expand access to education, especially in those rural areas. And this wasn't just about literacy. It was about giving people opportunities to break free from poverty and discrimination.
That makes sense. Education can be such a powerful force for change, but India's population is enormous. Providing quality education to everyone must have been a huge undertaking. And I'm guessing it still is.
Oh, absolutely. India has a unique demographic challenge. It has one of the youngest populations in the world, which is both a blessing and a challenge. On the one hand, all this youthful energy has the potential to really drive economic growth and innovation.
Yeah, it's like a massive pool of untapped talent just waiting to be unleashed.
Exactly. But on the other hand, you have to create enough jobs and opportunities to meet the needs of this growing population. And that is a monumental task. If it's not managed well, it could lead to social unrest and instability.
It's like a race against time. So education is key, but it also has to be paired with economic growth so you can support that growing workforce.
Precisely. And that leads us to another defining feature of 21st century India. It's economic power. We've seen the rise of the IT sector, the expansion of the middle class, and India is becoming more and more integrated into the global economy.
I've been so fascinated by the rise of e-commerce in India and how technology is being used to solve problems in healthcare, education. It really speaks to India's entrepreneurial spirit and its ability to adapt in the digital age.
It does. But it's important to remember that this economic growth hasn't benefited everyone equally. There are still big gaps between the rich and the poor, and there are definitely concerns about rising inequality.
So a mixed bag of progress on some fronts, but also persistent challenges on others. What about India's role in the world? How has this newfound economic power translated into political influence?
India is increasingly becoming a major player in international affairs. We see this in its growing diplomatic influence. Its military capabilities are expanding, and it's actively participating in global forums.
We've even seen India taking a more vocal stance on issues like climate change and global trade. It seems like it's not content to just sit on the sidelines anymore.
That's right. India is forging its own path, balancing its national interests with its role as a global citizen. It's this complex dance, and the choices India makes will have big consequences.
It feels like India is at this really pivotal moment in its history, facing all these huge opportunities, but also some really daunting challenges. Looking back at everything we've discussed, what do you think are the most important lessons India can learn from its 5,000-year history to help?
about that as we go into the final part of our deep dive.
Wow, we've really been on quite a journey through these millennia of Indian history.
We have.
Exploring everything, you know, from those powerful empires to the complexities of modern India.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm really eager to hear your perspective.
Hmm.
What can we really learn from this vast and intricate story?
It has been quite a journey. I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is that resilience. The resilience of Indian civilization. You think about it, all the invasions, the internal struggles, the natural disasters that India has faced. And yet, it's not only survived, it's thrived.
Yeah, it's incredible. We've seen empires fall, religions change, and societies transform. But there's something underneath it all, this spirit that seems to keep India moving forward. What is that?
Well, I believe that resilience comes from its diversity.
Mm.
We've talked about how India is like a tapestry woven from all these different languages, religions, and cultures, and ethnicities. While that diversity can sometimes lead to friction, it's also a source of strength and adaptability.
Yeah, it makes me think about the Bhakti movement, transcending social barriers, using poetry and song to unite people from all these different backgrounds through devotion. It's such a great example of how diversity can be a force for good.
I agree. And even when we look at the challenges India faces today, like inequality and social division, understanding and embracing diversity is going to be essential to finding solutions.
So diversity is key, but we know it's not always easy to manage. What else can India learn from its past, you know, as it moves into the future?
Another important lesson, I think, is balance. We've seen this theme throughout India's history, from that sophisticated land-grant system of the Gupta Empire to how modern India is trying to balance economic growth with social justice and sustainability.
Right. It's like this constant juggling act.
It is.
Finding that perfect spot where different needs and priorities can all work together.
Absolutely. And it's not always about those perfect solutions. It's about navigating the tension, making choices that ultimately serve the greater good.
And remember, we talked about that modernization paradox.
Yeah.
You know, those advancements like the railway system that brought progress, but also had these unintended consequences.
Right. That's a lesson any society going through rapid change needs to remember. Progress isn't always a straight line, and even the best intentions can have those unforeseen outcomes. India's experience with colonialism shows just how important it is to look at the impact of development and make sure that progress is inclusive and sustainable.
It's about learning from the past, both the good and the bad, to build a better future. What other insights do you think can help guide India as it enters the 21st century?
India's history also teaches us about the power of innovation and adaptation. From adopting that decimal system to the boom of the IT sector, India has always embraced new ideas and technologies. That spirit of innovation is going to be vital to face all the challenges of the 21st century, whether it's climate change or those global economic shifts.
And it seems like India is well positioned to face those challenges.
I think so.
With its young population, that entrepreneurial spirit, and that growing technological skill.
Yes. As we end this long exploration of 5,000 years of Indian history, I'm filled with a sense of hope.
Me too.
You see, India's story is a testament to the enduring power of the human spirit, to overcome those tough times, to adapt and change, and to build a better world.
It has been a true privilege exploring this history with you and with all our listeners.
Yeah.
I know we've covered a lot, but truly, this is just the start. India's story is still being written, and I can't wait to see what unfolds next.
I agree. The more we understand about the past, the better we can understand the present and shape the future.
And to everyone listening out there, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking questions, and never stop learning. India's history is full of so many surprises and insights.
It really is, and that journey of discovery,
yes,
it never really ends.
This has been The Deep Dive.